This is the Annenberg Learner Podcast, where we aim to elevate the education profession through conversations that inspire, recognize, and encourage innovation and best practices in the field. We track the lived experience of teachers, students, and parents alongside the ecosystem that serves them. Guest speakers will share what's working and the steps we can take to reimagine and redesign teaching and learning for our most vulnerable populations.
We want parents to see math as something that they already have some capacity and skills around. It's not about, you know, a right or wrong answer. It's about, you know, just having a conversation with your kid.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Annenberg Learner Podcast. In this episode, we ask the question, how do you help a child find joy in the math around them? And to help us answer that question is Omo Moses. Omo Moses is the founder of Math Talk, a community-based edtech startup that helps families explore the math around them. Before founding Math Talk, Omo served as the executive director and founding member of the Young People's Project, or YPP, a national nonprofit organization whose mission is to use math literacy work to develop the abilities of elementary through high school students to succeed in school and in life. YPP evolved out of the Algebra Project, which grew out of the civil rights activism of the Algebra Project's founder and MacArthur Genius Grant winner, Bob Moses, Omo's father. So without further ado, I want to welcome Omo Moses. Hello, Omo. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us about Math Talk? What is it? And can you share some of the benefits around it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Math Talk really grows out of my desire as a dad to have fun with my kids learning math. And so, you know, we began doing math while we were making breakfast, while we were out in the neighborhood, riding trains, at playgrounds. And it just felt like there's such a rich opportunity to get kids turned on to all the math that they're surrounded by. And part of the obstacle to that is just, you know, having adults that feel confident and capable and are aware of kind of both the opportunity and the importance of helping kids learn math in ways that are meaningful and relevant to them. And so, you know, as I began doing it with my own kids, I also began to think about, you know, how you help other adults, whether it's a parent, a teacher, or a caregiver, kind of turn their kids on to math and be kind of math coaches and math catalysts for the kids in their lives. And so Math Talk really grows out of that. And we've thought a lot about where kids frequent, where families frequent, and how those spaces represent kind of natural opportunities to explore and experience math. And then we've thought about how technology can help to promote that and increase the frequency of that.
That's great. Thank you for sharing about your family and how it started with your students. You also have a significant background in math education and experience. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that informed some of your work and this development of Math Talk and Math Trails?
The way I think of it, math has really been like a family business. My mom and dad met in the 60s in Mississippi during the Civil Rights Movement. And at that point, they were thinking about how the right to vote would enable people to access, you know, both educational opportunity, political opportunity, and economic opportunity. And so my dad founded an organization called the Algebra Project in the early 80s. And so, you know, we did a lot of math at home. It wasn't the thing that I enjoyed doing the most. But, you know, I knew math was important. It was something that I could be good at. And my dad connected it to, you know, a broader social need. And so he talked about, you know, how kids learning math really could prepare them for higher education, which then could prepare them to play whatever role they wanted to play in society. And so I've always thought of math as really a gateway to both individual opportunity, then also just thinking about, you know, specific communities in the country where young people have been disenfranchised and are living in economically distressed conditions. Math can be really a lever for opportunity for a community as a whole, and thinking about, you know, how they can uplift themselves out of, you know, the social conditions that they find themselves in. And so, you know, my dad came into our classroom when we were in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade and began teaching math to us and our peers. We worked with him to prepare for the Algebra 1 test as eighth graders. And so, like, the big goal was being able to take geometry in ninth grade. And so I just saw how, you know, the school and the community of parents rallied around this idea that all kids can successfully complete algebra in the eighth grade. Another thing, you know, my first jobs as early as high school, as ninth grade, I was teaching other kids math during the summer. And through that experience, I really just saw the power of teaching and the power of, like, peer-to-peer learning. And so it was as valuable for me as a young person being able to see that I had learned something and I can share it with another young person in a way that's meaningful. But also it just helped me build a different type of relationship with kids in my community. And so that also, you know, really stuck with me. And so, you know, from high school through college, you know, I spent a lot of time working in algebra project classrooms or programs, teaching other kids math. And so those two things kind of just carried with me as I began thinking about, like, who I wanted to become later in life. And so, you know, I ended up playing basketball in college. And then when that ended, I really wasn't sure, like, who I could be and what I could do. And the place that I could turn to was the Algebra Project. And I could turn to my dad and I asked him, you know, if I could get a job working with him. And so at that time, this was in the mid 90s, he was now, his Algebra Project had expanded nationally. And he brought the work back to Mississippi, which is really, you know, where I think he got his grounding in thinking about movement building and change. And so I asked him if I could work with him in Mississippi. And my thought was that I would just spend like a year down there and then I'd figure it out, like, what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And so I founded an organization called the Young People's Project with students in Mississippi, and that organization still exists, and it really centers on college and high school age students providing math and STEM-based learning experiences. But part of what happened was, you know, I spent about 20 years running that organization. I got burnt out, and I had kids, and so I was trying to figure out, well, what can I do that can, you know, help me make a little bit of money and continue the work that I'm doing. And so I shifted from teaching high school kids to teach middle and elementary school kids to thinking about, you know, how you work with the earliest ages of kids and parents to support math learning. And so that's been the journey.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. It seems like you've definitely have developed a lot of experience across all ages. I don't have a lot of experience working with early kids. I also mostly work with high school. So I'm curious if you can say more about Math Talk and then Math Trails. Earlier, you mentioned bringing in technology to these spaces and these interactions between a young child and their parent or the adults around them. What does that look like?
So we've developed a couple products. The first product, we call it a math trail. And so the idea is, you know, really identifying locations or points of interest in a neighborhood or community and helping to bring math to life in that location and connecting those locations in ways that are meaningful and fun for families. And so we've developed about 15 math trails, and the majority of them are in Massachusetts. We have some in in Georgia. We're developing one in California right now, and then Chicago. And part of the way I think about it is that you're connecting art and play and the community in ways that help kids and help parents and families engage with math in their neighborhood. And so that's really been successful. One of the things that we've also done is just think about ways in which technology can help to, again, promote these locations, these points of interest in neighborhoods, and then also deepen and expand the learning that can take place. We've developed a platform called mathtrail.com, which is really an early stage prototype that is a companion to the Math Trail, and it provides a curriculum and activities and games that kids and families and teachers can utilize both on the trail, but also, you know, anywhere else as well. The other thing that we've done is we've looked at, you know, how we can use augmented reality specifically to help people see kind of what's already there and play with what's in their environment in meaningful ways. And so we've created an app called Measure Everything. And the first iteration of that app is just really exploring, you know, what if a kid could measure a field in elephants or whales or centipedes or, you know, things that, again, are relevant to them, but helps provide a visual impression and a different sense of what it means to be, you know, tall or long or wide or short. And so, you know, it's been a successful app, and we've really used it to think about ways in which we can get kids out in their neighborhood, exploring their environment and using augmented reality to see what's there and interact with what's there in unique ways that support learning math.
COVID left a devastating impact on students. Today, only 2 in 10 fifth graders from low-income families in Los Angeles meet grade-level standards in math. Step Up Tutoring provides free, one-on-one online math tutoring. Join as a volunteer tutor, and they will provide all the support you need to tutor and mentor one of the millions of youth who lost educational opportunities during the pandemic. Apply today at stepuptutoring.org.
And at what age groups does this target?
Our sweet spot is probably 4 to 8, but we want to promote this with parents that have kids, you know, 1, 2 years old. I think, you know, as a parent, you can point to things, you can talk about, you know, use math vocabulary that I think help kids at a very early age begin to just see the math. You know, they might not know it's math, but see these things that can be mathematized like in their neighborhood and in their lives. And so as soon as possible, we want, you know, to support parents promoting this with their kids.
Yes. I think about like math anxiety and people being a little resistant to interacting with math because they never felt good at it. So how do you engage parents to feel confident to, you know, interact with an app or engage in these experiences with their child without bringing that up in them?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I think that is the challenge. And, you know, I think our approach is like, again, find the fun. Like, what's fun? How can math be something that you enjoy doing with your kids? And so, you know, we think about games as an entry point to having like a positive math experience. Also, we want parents to see math as something that they already have some capacity and skills around. At the earliest ages, it's really about, you know, beginning a conversation, kind of talking about things in ways that are familiar to you as a parent and as an adult. It's not about, you know, a right or wrong answer. It's about, you know, just having a conversation with your kid. And so I think you have to start with where people are, what they're comfortable with. for me, like, I love to play basketball. And so I played a lot of basketball with my kid. And so we learn math on the basketball court. If you like to cook, cook with your kids, or use that as an opportunity to talk about math and explore math. You know, math is really in everything we do. And so I think the challenge becomes, how do you help parents begin to see the math beyond what they're immediately comfortable with and what's immediately familiar to them? I think if you start with what's familiar with what they're comfortable with, then it becomes a foundation for expanding, like, the types of conversations and interactions they can have with their kids.
Can you describe maybe, like, paint a picture of what that looks like when a parent and a child are interacting with the app or experiencing a math trail?
On a math trail, we have signage, and so the signage has prompts. And one of our installations is a giant number line. And so basically, we've taken kind of this number line and something that's familiar in the classroom and put it on the sidewalk. So some of the activities, like, on the number line, you know, involve, like, noticing and observations. And so the way the number line is painted, it has a lot of different patterns. And so, you know, one of the prompts is just, what do you notice and wonder about this line? And, you know, you have a conversation about it. Another area is just thinking, you know, kids like to move. And so, you know, how far can you jump on the number line? And so getting kids to jump, getting parents to jump, and how they're going to quantify that and come up with, you know, a distance for that. And so there are a lot of different, you know, examples on that installation. We've also taken, like, Venn diagrams, which is a technical term, but we've just, like, taken circles and kind of connected them. And so we look at, you know, this idea of, you know, you, me, and we, you know. And so you have a section where one person can stand in and talk and think about kind of things that, you know, maybe they all have the same color on, and maybe there's a color that they don't have on, or something like that. So just looking at kind of similarities, differences, things of that nature, and having a conversation about that. So we've tried to introduce things that involve more than one person.
Have there been any studies that track students over time and show how, when they actually come into the classroom in a more formal, I'm sure if that's the right word, math setting, that they were able to understand these conceptual foundational relationships in math because of their experience with Math Talk?
Yep. We haven't had formal studies. We've done some work with the University of Chicago looking at, like, the early prototypes and how they promoted Math Talk. And so we've also had an NSF grant and work with the team out of BU to, again, look at, like, how the math trails and the installations promoted conversations, and how those, and whether or not those conversations were related to the math that we thought, that we saw kind of embedded in the installation. You know, the parents and kids might see something else. But all of those things, I think, demonstrated that both the installations and Measure Everything were promoting kind of positive math interactions and conversations. And so we really focused on that, particularly at the earliest ages. My theory is that, you know, and there's also a lot of research around it, you know, if you can get parents and kids having conversations around math, that it impacts, you know, the kids in more formal settings and the development of skills, you know, specific skills, as well as development of a positive math identity, which I think impacts how they receive math when they, you know, are learning it in a more formal setting.
That's great. And what's next for Math Talk?
I think the next stage is, you know, how do we take what we're learning and develop products that can really be pushed out to a much wider audience.
Thank you for sharing about what's coming up next. It sounds like you're continuing the work and seeing results and hoping to develop that narrative. And I'm curious if this model could be effective for older students. There's a lot in the headlines around math test scores, and you know they get tested much later than the kids that you're working with. But how could this work with older students, these ideas of learning in real time, in the community, in an immersive experience in the physical learning spaces? Is that something that is considered down the line?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now, you know, we're developing the math trails. Even though we're starting with the younger kids, you know, we want them to be a resource for elementary and eventually middle school kids. And so we think we see like a natural application there. You know, with the math trails, you know, when you are mathematized, when you're, you know, you take a picture of a set of steps in your community. Like there are a lot of different ways to look at that, those steps, you know. So, you know, for a kid, a younger kid, it could just be, you know, how many steps are there? You know what I mean? But if you want to think about other math, you know, you could talk about, well, how many ways, different ways can you walk up those steps, you know, to think about things that are a little more advanced. And so I think with all of these locations, you know, you can think about how it's an opportunity for an elementary school kid to connect with it, a middle school kid, a high school kid. You know, I think there are different layers of math that are embedded that are relevant to different age groups. And so I think there are a lot of opportunities for learning and for leadership, you know, with older kids in particular.
Yeah, I love the idea of the peer-to-peer learning and also intergenerational learning, right, with the older adults that are working with the grandchildren or their own children. So that's fantastic. And I wish there were more of that, of those opportunities in even formal settings of teaching mm-hmm. math. I'm curious, given your extensive experience across age groups and grade levels, what do you think is the biggest challenge in our math education today?
Yeah. I think it's making it relevant. And also, you know, there's so many different ways to see something. I think math is one of those things, like my daughter sees it one way, my son sees it another way, I might see it another way. But math continues to be put in a straitjacket, and, you know, adults, I think, need to help kids have conversations about how they see it, you know, and how they understand it versus, you know, thinking about how you're going to direct a kid to understand it in a particular way. And so I think it just requires a certain level of kind of curiosity and flexibility to engage students in that way, and a level of confidence in your own math and understanding of math to be able to try to see it outside of the way you see it, you know, particularly as you're teaching. And so part of what that will enable is like the kids and the students to take ownership over math. You know, this is something that is really rooted in kind of how you see and understand the world around you and how you apply that to these more kind of standardized or formalized ideas. And so that's how I learned and experienced it through the Algebra Project. It was really trying to situate math within a kid's kind of point of view, you know? So how do you situate it within my point of view and within kind of the things that I see and the things that are important to me? And then how do we connect that to these more kind of structural and symbolic ideas that people naturally associate with learning math?
Well, thank you. Is there anything else that you would like to share with the learner audience?
Be on the lookout for kind of Math Trails 2.0 and, you know, the next iteration of the Measure Everything app. And yeah, we're just super excited to create resources and products that kids and families can get excited about and can utilize to have a different relationship with math. And so, yeah, we'd love to stay connected and to hear what people think about what we're developing.
The Annenberg Learner Podcast joins the catalog of multimedia professional learning content to support educators teaching in more effective ways. Annenberg Learner is the education division of the Annenberg Foundation. Learner supports the foundation's mission to encourage the development of more effective ways to share ideas and knowledge. Go to learner.org and annenberg.org to learn more.